whatever you do now has an outsized effect on your future, on your career trajectory. So take every moment, take every opportunity to learn something, to talk to somebody, to experience something, and you never know what kind of doors they will open to you. If not now, then certainly in the future. Hi, my name is Pavel. Thank you so much for joining me today. On this episode, I wanted to share my story of how I became a field application scientist. And the reason I want to tell that story, because I've actually never fully explained that story or told that story to anyone in the full length, is when I get asked by PhD students or young career professionals about how they should structure their career transition, how to, you know, do job applications, how to network with people and so on, what they should do in general, I always try to tell them a little bit about how I've got started, how I landed my first job in biotech, but I never go into full detail into everything that happened. Nonetheless, I try to illustrate the larger point that serendipity, knowing people and things, you know, sort of happened the way that they're supposed to. I try to illustrate some of those points, but I never kind of explain exactly why I firmly believe that you may already know exactly where you're gonna end up, and some of those things have been predetermined for you for many years. In this video, I'm really gonna dive into this story a little bit more to hopefully get you a sense of why I strongly believe that it's not about 100,000 applications that you click easy apply on LinkedIn. It's not about going out of your way and just like blasting all those things out there and hoping for the best. And it's all about actually some of the things, just looking back at everything you've done, people you've met, and so on, and realizing that some of the things that you're going to do or where you're going to end up is likely have been predetermined. And if you think like that's kind of insane to think about it, maybe, but at least allow me to tell my story so to hopefully illustrate maybe some of the things that you can change or think differently about your own experiences. And hopefully that will be helpful to you in your own career journey as you go along. And I feel like it's not just the story of my first career transition, my second and third career transition in many ways has also been shaped by some of the things I was doing well before I even considered applying for a particular position or even obviously learning about the company. So let's get started. Just to give you a sense of my first application scientist job I took after I graduated with my PhD, it was in August / September of 2020. Now, I got that position after almost 6 months, I would say, after I graduated with my PhD. I graduated in February 2020, so right before the coronavirus pandemic. But if you think that I got this job in the 6 months, that's actually not the story I wanted to tell. What I wanted to tell you is I feel in many ways I've got that job in 2015. Now that's full 5 years before I obviously joined the company, but the sequence of events that led me to getting that job in 2020, everything that happened, I felt led me to that moment. So let's kind of get started. So 2015, I was in Germany, so not in America. I was in Germany. I was doing my undergrad in a town called Rheinbach. It was a 3-year bachelor program, and I was 2015. Let's see. It was my second year. Yes, it was my second year of doing my undergrad, and the third year of my undergrad, specifically the last semester, I was supposed to do some kind of internship and complete like a research project in order, and that would be what I would use to get my bachelor's. So I needed to complete a research project, write it up in some kind of like a mini thesis, if you will, and then present it in order to graduate. So in 2015, early 2015, around February or so, I obviously was still an undergrad. I wasn't even quite sure if I wanted to do PhD, but I felt like I was kind of getting ready to think that I should probably be doing my PhD. I was looking for places to do an internship, to do that project, which was at that point a full year before me. And I was really trying to figure out if I can come back to the United States to do potentially my PhD, but also to just do an internship. I knew at the time I was kind of interested in protein sciences and protein characterization. I haven't really done any major lab work up until that point at all. All my lab work have been done in like community college, in some classes, lab classes, and in my undergrad in Germany. But I had a sense, like I started reading a book about proteins. I was quite fascinated about it. And I started looking for places to do my internship. And really what I mean by that is I wanted to come back to San Diego because I already been there, I lived there for 3 years at the time. And I started to look at some professors in San Diego specifically who are doing protein research. Because I felt like I wanted to get some hands-on experience that I felt could be beneficial for me and would allow me to then enter a PhD program. So I found a professor at Scripps Research and by the name of Jane Dyson, and I sent her an email saying, I'm an international student, I live in Germany, I'm curious if you have a placement in your lab for internship, basically for the next year, because of course it takes time to get everything sorted out. For me, I would have had to get a visa and so on. So she was very gracious in terms of at least replying to me, but she said, unfortunately, in her position, in her laboratory at Scripps Research, she wasn't offering those opportunities, and I forgot the exact reason, but. She just said it won't be possible to do it. However, and this is where it gets really interesting. However, she gave me two names of two other professors who she said, please feel free to contact them. Maybe they will be able to provide you an internship. Those two professors were actually not in America. They were in UK. One was in University of Leeds, and the other one was in University of Cambridge. And I messaged both of those professors, and the professor from University of Cambridge, Jane Clark, she essentially said, okay, maybe, yeah, this could work. And by the way, this just again blew my mind, that the fact that I was, you know, able to know learn about those professors, was put in touch with them essentially. And that was the beginning of my journey to be able to go to UK for my last semester of my undergrad studies and do that internship. It took pretty much almost a full year of getting through all the paperwork required for me to be able to actually start that internship. I was applying for some scholarships. I had to you know, do all the requisite German paperwork, if you will, that would allow me to actually, you know, do that. We had to write up a plan of what types of things I would be working on and so on. So it really took a long time, pretty much a full year. Eventually, in 2016, in the beginning of 2016, at the end of February, I got everything sorted out. I got my visa to go to UK. I went to UK, right? I went to UK, to University of Cambridge, and joined the lab of Professor Jane Clark and in Department of Chemistry. And this was the beginning of that internship. I was there for 3.5 months, really working quite intensely in the protein characterization lab, protein biophysics lab, where I was doing different experiments, characterizing protein folding pathways. And this is where it gets really interesting, right? One of the instruments I had to use in my research in that lab was actually made by a company called Applied Photophysics. That instrument, that company, I should say, is the company I ended up being a field application scientist for in 2020. So this was 2016. I used their instruments then during that internship quite intensely. I had to use those stop flow instrumentation for studying protein denaturation kinetics, essentially. And I learned how to use that. I was trained by the other scientists in the lab, used that quite a lot in that internship. Of course, at the time, I had no idea who I wanted to be. I didn't really think much of the company or their instruments at the time. In fact, it was like, why I had to use it. It was quite a lot of stuff I had to learn, obviously get trained on and so on. But this is kind of that kind of beginning part of that story. So if you could start thinking, whenever I speak to people who are interested in becoming a field application scientist, I always tell them, let's make a list of hardware and software, of the types of things and tools essentially that you have already used in your own research, and just write it out, right? Make a list of things and write a name of the company, maybe your skill level of with a particular instrument, kind of your familiarity with it. Actually, did you even like using those instruments and so on? And kind of maybe rate them on some kind of scale, right? Like, you know, high, medium, low, and so on, right? So this perfectly illustrates this sort of story, which is not over, by the way. This is kind of already illustrates that. In fact, the interesting thing about me using their instruments 4 years before my eventual job offer was the fact that after that internship, I never used those instruments since. So all I had was that 3.5 month internship. So on my job application, essentially, kind of skipping ahead, all I said is I used that for 3.5 months, very intensely, and so on, right? So that's kind of my sole experience with their technology was that during that internship. Okay, so this was 2016, right? I finished my bachelor thesis project, concluded that internship. It was a tremendous experience. I learned a ton of about making proteins, working in a lab. It was great. I mean, I just immersed myself in that UK culture, British culture. It was a good fun. Got great friends through that, and then went back to Germany, finished my thesis, and actually at the time I was able to get a PhD position in San Diego, not at Scripps Research, in a different institute called Sanford Burnham Prebys. So that's what I joined. I started my PhD in 2016 in September. I did my PhD in about 3.5 years. But this is, again, I put that on the side, that experience. I didn't think much of it. And now the year is 2019, so it's still actually a full year before my graduation. I didn't even know I was going to graduate at the time. So this was February 2019. I went to a conference, Biophysical Society conference, for somebody like me who is working in protein biophysics, which is what I was continuing to do in my PhD, but now using NMR and other techniques to study proteins. I went to a conference that was in Baltimore. There was a booth for applied photophysics there, and in the giant exhibitor hall. And I saw them. I was like, oh, maybe I should talk to them. Maybe I can, tell them, oh, I used their instruments at the time. And essentially, the cool thing about that experience, how I ended up talking to them, was. My professor from UK, Jane Clark, she was actually also at that conference, and I saw her stop by their booth because presumably, of course, she knew she had multiple instruments from that company. So she stopped by, she talked to them. I was kind of creeping up on her in that sense, kind of mustering up courage to want to go and talk to them myself. Eventually I did. I kind of walked by their booth close enough that their sales rep actually kind of stopped me and engaged in a conversation with me. His name is Derek. So hi, Derek, thank you. And essentially that conversation, we spent maybe like 5-10 minutes really talking about their technology, their different instruments. I explained that I use their instruments now several years ago, had a great time learning how it works and so on. And to Derek's credit, all credit really goes to him. He followed up with me after the conferences. We kind of stayed in touch. On LinkedIn, really. It was basically our exchange at the time. It was great to see each other. And then he followed up with me maybe a month or so later saying, are you going to be at this other conference or not? I wasn't, planning on attending it, but regardless, we kind of stayed in touch, just really minimally on LinkedIn. I think I mentioned a few things here and there to him on LinkedIn, like about the launch of a different product and so on. And now, at the time, that was maybe middle of July of 2019, I knew I was gonna get ready towards to graduate in maybe 6 to 9 months or so. So I started thinking, what am I gonna do? I wasn't still quite sure what is it that I wanted to accomplish. After I graduated, I was considering postdoc, I was considering field application scientist, MSL, and a number of other careers. Essentially, being an international student, I was gonna be happy to take anything to some extent because I needed a job, otherwise I would have to leave the country. But closer to graduation, that's, you know, I kind of tried applying different places, didn't really get very far. And closer to graduation now, it was about, I feel like, right after I graduated, February 2020. So at the time, I still didn't have a job. But in March of that year, or just maybe end of February, there was another Biophysical Society conference. And I reached out to Derek, at which point with whom I've been in touch for about a year, just again, on and off. I didn't have a job. I started really thinking very heavily, what is it that I can do? And I knew I had contacted him, right? And I looked up if they were hiring, right? That's kind of my I knew I was gonna go to that conference, present my research. I knew that he was gonna attend, the company is gonna have a booth there. So I looked up online if they were hiring for any positions. And you know, at that time, they were hiring for a field service engineer position, which for those of you who may not know what that is really being part of installing the instruments sometimes, or doing some troubleshooting, or doing preventive maintenance services. So it's quite a technique heavy, hardware heavy position, which requires deep familiarity with the instrument, but obviously some communication skills and so on, right? And scientific skills. So that was the position that was open, not application scientist. They had another person working as an application scientist there at the time. Nevertheless, I reached out to Derek. I said, hey, I know your technology a little bit. I'm about to graduate. Is it something you may be open to introducing me to a hiring manager for that position? And that was a director of sales. And I'm happy to provide you with my resume and so on. So to Derek's utmost credit, he was able to put me in touch with the director of sales, who was the hiring manager for that position. And at the conference, so this is right after I graduated, at the conference, I had my first interview, right? I had my first interview. I described my familiarity with their technology through the experience I had almost 4 years ago at the time, right? And we had a good productive conversation and things were looking good. They understood my situation, that I might need sponsorship in the future, but I had a STEM OPT that I could obviously use in the meantime, so that was all great. However, this is when, you know, coronavirus hit, right? Then, and they were not alone in that. Many companies had paused hiring and so on, so they kind of also paused hiring for that position, at least in the spring of 2020. So I was forced to make other choices, find other opportunities to work, which is a whole other story. But essentially, I thought that was it, right? I thought I had a good understanding with them, but it, unfortunately, it just didn't work out. So in August 2020, this is about 5 months or so after I had that initial interview with a hiring manager, Mark reached out to me, basically saying now they had opened a position for application scientist because their application scientist at the time was moving to a different company. So this opened this position for me, and he reached out to me specifically on LinkedIn before they posted even the position, because I kept in touch with him again on LinkedIn, just kind of checking in how things are going, monitoring, and nothing really was changing on his end during the springtime. But nevertheless, I reached out, like, on, like, they had a product launch that I said, like, hey, congratulations and so on. But that was kind of the extent of our conversations during the springtime. But in August, he reached out, like, hey, we're opening up this position. Are you still interested? And I was like, yes, fantastic. So this, again, just to put it in context, the position was not kind of yet made to public, available to public. And that's really because things happened quite quickly. And since he already knew that I was still interested, because I kept in touch on LinkedIn from time to time, like, say, hey, if something comes up, just let me know. And yeah, when things did happen, it took some time, but when things opened up and they were in a position to hire, that's when I was saying, like, yes, let's do it. So I went through a formal interview process with the company, had a technical interview with the two different scientists and managers with the company, kind of giving them my understanding of what the technology is, what that role is all about. And one of the things that helped me tremendously to get the job is I had a YouTube channel that I started on during the pandemic, so in spring 2020, where I interviewed other people. So I was able to demonstrate some of that communication skills, which is extremely valuable for a position of a field application scientist, essentially. And of course, I already knew some of their technology. I was, in fact, one of their products that they just launched was an instrument that I wish I had in my PhD and in my internship back in UK, because I had used similar technique, but it was just not as automated. And I spent a long time optimizing that. There was another instrument that I was using at the time, but the instrument that they launched would have saved me a ton of time. And that's kind of, I used that as another talking point in my interview process, where I just essentially said, I wish I had that technology. I was your ideal customer. I just didn't have that type of instrument that you guys just launched. So as a field application scientist, of course, you're there talking with customers, clients, and it makes sense to talk from that standpoint. And if you have experience being that company's ideal client, of course, that allows you to be able to speak to their ideal clients and communicate the value of their technology, right? So this is kind of the story, right? Then I got the position, and that's where I moved from San Diego to East Coast, where their lab was located. So to recap this story that, again, started all the way in 2015, it's very interesting how this works. I sent an email that initially would have been perceived as failure. I didn't get really that position in the lab that I was hoping to get. But I was referred to a different lab where I ended up going a year later, where I used the instruments that I essentially ended up being in the position of, contributing to their sales 4 years after the fact. It's a fantastic case study, if you will, of serendipity, of how things are meant to be. And I'm a strong believer in that. It's however you want to explain it or rationalize it in your own brain, whatever you believe in, religion or otherwise, it doesn't matter. I feel like if we look hard enough introspectively and look at how things unfold in our life, things certainly happen the way that they're supposed to. And I feel like something similar stories or similar serendipitous events kind of happened with my second and third jobs, and even the job that I'm in now. Those are maybe stories for another time, but that first position, I felt like, and all the things that had to happen for me to land that position over the course of many years, I feel like it's a tremendous and very powerful motivator to me to know, like, whatever I'm doing has an impact. It might not feel like at this point in time it does, but it has, I would say, even outsized impact on the things in your own future. So this is really an empowering thought, if you think about it. Whatever you do now has an outsized effect on your future, on your career trajectory. So take every moment, take every opportunity to learn something, to talk to somebody, to experience something, and you never know where these events, these possibilities, what kind of doors they will open to you. If not now, then certainly in the future. So I hope you enjoyed this little story of mine. I hope it was somewhat inspirational and educational. Thank you so much for watching. Please subscribe and let me know what you think about this story. Can you share your story if you think you can relate to something, maybe some of the things that happened to you in the past that made a tremendous impact on you down the line, maybe where you are now, where you ended up now. So share those stories with me. I really look forward to reading and learning more about you. Thank you so much for watching, and I'll see you in the next video. Bye-bye.